We are joined by Mark Rogers of Mark Rogers TV. Mark, good afternoon. How are things in Connecticut?
Things are good, Matt. How are you?
Doing well.
Trey, Mark, how are you? Good.
I'm good. Let's talk about this big matchup between Alabama going on the road and taking on Texas A&M.
Sounds good to me. The big thing that stands out to me is obviously this is kind of a different kind of rivalry. You know, we've got Bama and Auburn, the Iron Bowl. We've got great rivalries all over the country. But this is kind of like the chic rivalry. This is kind of like exploded onto the scene with, of course, A&M going into Tuscaloosa last year. And then certainly with all the talk back and forth and the McCarron-Johnny Manziel thing at SEC Media Days after the Manning football camp in which Johnny Manziel was doing who knows what. So this is there's some bad blood between these football programs, and you know it's a huge game for Alabama. Even though they're not talking revenge this week, they're trying to put that to rest. That's not a big deal. But when the game from last year is playing on the loop in the weight room 24/7, 365, and they've got the score listed on some of the weight racks in the weight room, you know that Nick Saban's been thinking about this ever since they walked off the field against Notre Dame last year.
Right, and you know, for me, it's kind of surprising that A&M was able to, you know, rise up to kind of, I guess, be one of the big dogs in the SEC so quick. And that being said, who do you think has more to lose and has more to gain? You know, like more pressure coming into this game? Is it Alabama, the fact that they got beat last year, although they were able to still win the national championship, or is it Texas A&M with the like we said, all the off-field antics that Manziel had this offseason? Which one of these teams do you think is feeling a little more pressure?
I think for one guy, Johnny Manziel's got the pressure of the world. He's got the weight of the world for one guy. But for the entire program, the entire team, just because of the expectations and to lose 2 years in a row to Johnny Manziel and not be able to take revenge like everybody's expecting, like the betting line's expecting at 7 or 8 points. I think Alabama being number one, being who they are, Alabama, and people expecting them to have a chip on their shoulder and take care of business, I think that they've got the pressure on them.
Mark, are you surprised that Nick Saban, the way he has handled things this week, and I say handled things this week, but the press conference a couple of days ago where the report came out about DJ Fluker and impermissible benefits and accepting money and that whole report that Yahoo Sports came out with, and how Nick Saban's there to talk about the game, but all anybody wants to ask him about is DJ Fluker. Are you surprised in any way of how Nick Saban's handled everything after that report came out?
Well, Nick Saban's not exactly John L. Smith, as you guys can relate to much better than I can. It's not like he's just going to fly off the handle. Everything's so calculated with him, and he is so under control that there has to be a reason that he's doing that. We've certainly seen him have his issues with the media in the past and be pretty fiery, but it seems like he's kind of mellowed in recent years and not been – he's had a little – I don't want to say fun because it's Nick Saban, but he's been a little bit more – mellowed out the last few years. So I think it's calculated. I think there's a reason. And maybe he's not seeing what he needs out of his team this week in practice. Maybe it's something that he just wants to send a message. And I would think that would be to his team. And I got to think he's so guarded, so calculating, that there's a reason that that he's sent a message this week in that way.
Mark, let's talk about some other games around the country. Obviously, A&M Alabama is going to get the draw and the most attention. But there are some other big games going on around the country. Ohio State on the road at Cal. Could the Bears pull off the biggest upset of the season so far if they were able to knock off the Buckeyes tomorrow?
Yeah, they could. They could, because this same Cal team, with more experience at quarterback and running back, they did have some players move on to the NFL and Keenan Allen at wide receiver. They only won 3 football games last year, and they went to Columbus, and they had Ohio State on the ropes, 28-all, with like 5 or 6 minutes left in the game before they had a blown coverage, and Braxton Miller hit them for a 72-yard touchdown pass. So I don't think Ohio State's early schedule has done them any favors in playing Buffalo and San Diego State, and now they got to amp it up for not a team that I don't think that they're superior to, but a team that could scare them. Going to the West Coast, a team that's going to have more speed and a little bit more, certainly more speed at the skill positions than what they've seen the first 2 weeks, I think that they've got to come in ready and prepared. And otherwise, it's going to be a shock in terms of the level of play. This Cal team took Northwestern to the last 5 minutes, tied at 30, played really well before a couple of turnovers did them in. So I think Cal's going to give Ohio State a really good game. I'm looking for like a 10-point win by Ohio State.
Yeah, and last year, if I'm not wrong, that they kind of had a tough game, and some say, you know, Cal kind of outplayed them a little bit last year, although Ohio State was able to get the victory. In staying out west, and, you know, we can go either Ole Miss, Texas, or USC, and I think Boston College. Is traveling out there. Which one of those coaches and games, you know, we talk about most important and feeling pressure. Who's feeling more pressure, Lane Kiffin or Mack Brown right now?
Well, Lane Kiffin certainly doesn't have the track record at USC. Like, Mack Brown can still kind of rest on the national championship. And even though he hasn't won the Big 12 as many times as you would think looking back, it's pretty much been a Bob Stoops-run conference for the time that he's been there. He's obviously racked up tons of 10- and 11-win seasons. He's got in the bank. Now, it's been a while. The last 3 or 4 years have been rough. But Lane Kiffin, just aside from the 1 year, and he had Marquise Lee and Robert Woods and Matt Barkley, and he had a pretty stacked lineup when they went 10-2 a couple years ago. Other than that, what has the guy done? It's just, I think it amazes college football fans that this guy, before the age of 40, has had three pretty decent jobs. And when I say decent, I'm understating it. That the guy has been able to move from Tennessee and had the Raiders job in the NFL and USC and really hasn't done anything with all three jobs. And being a preseason number one last year and losing six games and being embarrassed in the Sun Bowl by an unranked Georgia Tech team, I got to think they're ready to pull the trigger on Lane Kiffin, and they just need another reason why.
Mark, we have some breaking news right now. Chip Brown of orangebloods.com is reporting that Texas Athletic Director DeLoss Dodds will step down at the end of the year.
Hmm.
Could that be paving the way for Mack Brown to take over as Athletic Director and let Mack Brown bring in Will Muschamp to be the head coach of the Longhorns?
Oh, I think that scenario, now that we've got that news to go by, that's a very real scenario possibility. Yeah, I definitely think that could be in the works.
Yeah, would Muschamp, though, want to leave Florida? You know,
yes.
You want to leave Florida to go to Texas. And now, in my opinion, Florida has one of the best defenses in college football. It's just that offensive end. I don't know if Driscoll has made the improvements this year. But do you just think that's a seamless transition or the easy choice that kind of happens, that it would be Muschamp, or do you think they look somewhere else?
Well, it's kind of interesting to try to figure out what motivates guys, because you guys have somebody in your backyard who was extremely successful and comfortable at Wisconsin, but he wanted the challenge. He wanted to take on the best. He wanted to knock heads with LSU and Alabama and Texas A&M and the rest of the league, and really see if he could make something out of that program against the best. So if Will Muschamp's continuing to want to fuel that fire of playing and winning in the SEC, and like you say, I saw it all last season up until whatever happened in the Sugar Bowl against Louisville, that their front seven and their entire defense was dominating
right. Last
year, and I think they're just as good this year. They just had so many issues on offense that they couldn't beat Miami last week. But yeah, he's got a good thing going in Florida, but does he look at that situation, or does he think, I can go to Texas, and yeah, I got a lot of like top 25, 30 teams to deal with, but I don't have a whole lot of top 5, top 10 programs to deal with, and maybe I can go to that league and dominate, and I'll be a king at Texas. It depends on what motivates these guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're not going to have, with 5 or 6 games of top 10, top 15 teams, you might have one or two, but not that. And do you see, you know, the last couple years, we've seen some changes in, the conferences. Do you see Texas going to the Pac-12, or do you see another change, you know, in the next 3 to 4 years with some of these conferences, especially with this going to this playoff system after this year?
Well, there's only so many pieces that can be moved at this point. I think the Big Ten blew it in not going after Missouri when Missouri publicly stated that they wanted to go to the Big Ten. So I think they missed out, and now they've gone to the East Coast for other than football, for a league that is chasing the SEC and admittedly is chasing the SEC, and that's always been the goal, and at one point was right there with the SEC and has really fallen off in the last 5 to 8 years. You know, they're going to the East Coast for completely non-football related reasons, totally money issues to get into New York City and Baltimore and D.C. with Rutgers and Maryland. And I don't even think that those programs matter that much. So I thought that was a bad move. They should have really brought in Missouri when they could. With Texas, again, boy, the Big 12 just hung on by a shoestring. It looked like the whole thing was going to cave in there about a year and a half ago, and maintaining Texas was the key to keeping the whole thing together. But if anything else moves within those other conferences, yeah, Texas, if Texas bolts, that's it for the Big 12. I would think the whole thing would crumble after that.
Yeah, I really do. I totally agree with you there. Mark Rogers of Mark Rogers TV joining us on the Arkansas Mailing Services Hotline right now. Mark, we're into week three. Surprises so far this year in college football?
Well, what is somewhat surprising is that we've seen a number of FBS teams get knocked out and knocked off. Teams that were very prominent teams last year, like Oregon State, Kansas State. It's amazing what Bill Snyder is able to do with that program with recruiting classes that don't show up on the radar, and he continues to win pretty big there and only get exposed when they really match up against an extremely talented team like Oregon last year. In terms of surprises, I think people need to look out for Michigan. I know that wouldn't be a major surprise and them playing well, but at the level that I expect them to play, I think they're legitimately a fringe top 10 team. And I think they're going to show it this season. I thought we got a glimpse of that last week. Miami, certainly, they've been under the radar with the sanctions and not being able to play in postseason play. They surprised me to a certain extent, not that I was shocked because they've got a lot of talent, but because of Florida's dominance on defense, I was a bit surprised that Miami won that football game. But I think we have yet to see any real stunners out there at this point. But they're coming.
Yeah, and, you know, Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury beating TCU. I wanted to get your take real quick on Oregon and Scott Frost taking over calling the plays out there. And being in the South, we don't get to see Oregon play a lot. It's usually the late game. You get to see some of the highlights. I like what they're doing there, and I heard this stat today that they are running a play every 17 seconds, which is 3 seconds faster than what they did with Chip Kelly there last year. What is your take on Oregon, and, you know, are they have a chance that you would say as far as being in that national championship game this year?
What I love to remind people about Oregon, if you look at the last 5 years when they've really made this run, where they've been amongst the elite, is that, yeah, they're putting up these ridiculous numbers, running the plays at warp speed. And like you mentioned, now it's even quicker. And we saw what the Eagles did to the Redskins. And I think the rest of the league's going to catch up with Chip Kelly. But at this point, I think that was a major factor in the Eagles winning the other night. Oregon is exciting to watch. They have recruited phenomenally, considering where they are. They've built up the facilities. Nobody wanted to go to Oregon 10 or 15 years ago. And so to pull off what they've been able to pull off is pretty amazing. At the same time, when they run into elite defenses that are churning out NFL players, and I'll go back to the 2010 Rose Bowl against Ohio State, an offense that was churning out 55 points a game, suddenly 17 points, 250 yards of offense. Auburn didn't even have a great defense, but certainly a solid SEC defense, 19 points in the national championship game. We've seen it a few times. We've seen it against LSU in the opener a couple years ago. So, yeah, they're very impressive, but they still haven't shown us against a great defense that they can. And obviously, they're not going to score the 55 points against the great defenses, but they have been bottled up against the better defenses, and we saw it again last year against the Stanford front seven that was one of the best in the country.
Right.
So do you give Tennessee a chance?
I don't give them a chance to win, but I certainly – yeah, I'm not going to go quite that far.
I was about to say, you don't want to go out there on a limb?
I think the Vols go out there and give them – I don't want to say a game. What do you consider a game? They keep it around the 25 mark.
I was going to say three touchdowns.
Yeah, they probably
something in that range.
And I do agree with you that the offense, now that they've seen film, because if you listen to what the Washington Redskins D coordinator, I believe that's the former New Orleans Saints head coach, that he said
Jim Haslett. Yep.
Yeah, he was watching. He had to go watch college tape, but now that you've seen the NFL game, that's some of the tape that they'll be able to have. And you can't in the NFL have these 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute scoring drives and put your defense right back on the field. And let's say you have a 2 minute scoring drive, then you go three and out, then you have a 2 minute scoring drive. Your defense is on the field way too much, and especially when you're playing against some of these better quarterback teams. And I think if RG3 would have played some preseason, if he wasn't injured, that would have been a different game, because that was his preseason was pretty much the first half.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Mark, let's give us some picks this week. Who wins Alabama A&M?
Okay. Here's the one thing that hit me the other day in thinking about this game, is that if you look at all the elite quarterbacks that Alabama's faced since Saban took over and then really established that elite defense in like 2008, the one guy that's been a serious dual threat, the other guys are one-dimensional. Aaron Murray, Denard Robinson, a runner. You can put them in a category. The one guy who was a dual threat at an elite level was Cam Newton, that gave them fits and obviously won that big game. Johnny Manziel last year, he would be the only guy that you could put in that category. That's the only thing that kind of concerns me. Otherwise, Saban, a bye week, he fixes the offensive line issues we saw against Virginia Tech. I just don't believe in A&M's defense. I think Bama wins this one by 10 or 12 points.
How many personal fouls for Johnny Manziel in this game?
he needs to behave, because they need all the yardage
he needs
they
to behave.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Rice put up 30, Sam Houston State 28 on that defense. And to your point as well, Mark, that Virginia Tech has a great defense. So it's not like they were playing against a team that wasn't as good in that opening week, and teams make their improvement from week one to week three. So I think Alabama will score, as much as they want and win by two touchdowns.
Mark, where can people find you?
Find me at markrogerstv.com.
All right. Sounds good. Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was a good time.